Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
Amen. We are now at the end of our 24 hours that changed the world. We started around 6 p.m. on Thursday night and ended with the death of Jesus almost exactly 24 hours from the time they had the Last Supper. What a difference the last 24 hours played out compared to the previous week's events. Today for us is Palm Sunday, when we traditionally celebrate Jesus as the triumphal king, the crowd shouting as he passed by. I can only imagine that for those who were there, it was a powerful experience. I bet it felt electrifying. On Palm Sunday, people praised Jesus in a manner that he should be praised. So powerful, in fact, that when the Pharisees demanded the praising be stopped, Jesus told them that even the rocks would cry out if the people did not. That's the kind of worship I want to be a part of. Well, our study of the last 24 hours of Jesus now moves us to just 5 days later, where Jesus is naked, beaten, mocked, and nailed to a cross. If we look at the little over 3 years of ministry that Jesus had, a lot of people encountered Jesus, and many of them never really knew who he was. Many others, like the Pharisees, flat out rejected him. Others misunderstood who he was. The people on Palm Sunday obviously thought he was a king to conquer Jerusalem and reestablish Israel as an earthly kingdom. Jesus knew that the people didn't get who he was. Let us recall this conversation he had much earlier with Peter from Luke 9. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Now, Jesus is asking a question he obviously knows the answer to. And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Well, there was no doubt the people of the day didn't know how to see Jesus. He was perplexing them. He wondered if he was a prophet. Excuse me. There were others, like Nicodemus, who admitted he was a great teacher sent by God, but didn't really understand who he was. But what was most important to Jesus was not how the world viewed him. He wanted to know what his followers believed. So he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." For those of you who follow Jesus, this is our question. Who do you say Jesus is? Really think deeply. Who do you say Jesus is? The people of Jesus' day saw him, heard him, met him, and even in some cases were miraculously touched by him. Yet despite these direct encounters, they didn't really know him. Now I know all of you who attend regularly have heard about Jesus. I know you have read about him, or at least seen the scriptures up on the screen. You have met people that have claimed to be miraculously changed by him. In different services, you might have heard me talk about meeting Jesus through communion or other ways. In some denominations, preachers will have an altar call and say, "Come on down and be saved by Jesus." But who do you say he is? It doesn't matter what I say he is. What matters is what you believe Jesus is. For this is the most important question of your life. Now, I'm a nerd. I like surveys. According to a Gallup survey, 92% of Americans believe Jesus was a historical figure. And even when broken down by generations, even 80% of younger adults believe Jesus to be a historical figure. Now that sounds pretty good, except, well, George Washington was a historical figure too, right? A lot of people were historical figures. In the same survey, people were asked if Jesus was truly the Son of God. And this is where we start to see some real differences. Of all adults surveyed, only 56 believe Jesus to be the Son of God. If you break it down by age, our oldest Americans believe at a rate of 62%, but it drops off sharply. The youngest generation, only 48% of Americans believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, this question really surprised me. They asked, did Jesus live a sin-free life? Of those surveyed, only 31% of Americans believe Jesus lived a sin-free life. Now, this alone is a whole other sermon. But let me state this. If Jesus was not truly the Son of God, if Jesus did not go to the cross as the perfect sinless sacrifice, then everything we are doing here is for nothing. If Jesus is not who the Bible proclaims to be, then Jesus cannot be our Savior. And here's what I feel the most important question of the survey to be. Is a personal commitment to Jesus the way to heaven? Only 39% of adults believed a personal commitment to Jesus is the way to heaven. And again, we see a deep divide by generations, with only 26% of young adults believing that a personal commitment to Jesus is the way to heaven. It's 1/4 of our youth know the way to heaven. Peter said Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And so again, I ask the questions, who do you say that Jesus is? Looking at the last 24 hours, more specifically, the last moments of his life, we see two important encounters. Firstly, we see that there were two others crucified with Jesus. The scriptures say two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. But one of them has a change of heart. In Luke 23, we read his account. It says, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. I think he was a teenager. A little snarky. Well, aren't you the Messiah? Huh? Save us. Save yourself. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly for what we are getting, what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. After seeing the crucifixion, one thief continues to mock and reject Jesus, and the second thief is convicted and acknowledges who Jesus is. And the thief isn't the only one who is convicted by what happens on the cross. From Mark chapter 15. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. What a powerful statement. Truly, this man was the Son of God. One thing is for certain. What you believe about this statement will determine where you spend eternity. Jesus himself told us in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you don't know who Jesus is, if you do not meet Jesus, you will not go to heaven. If you reject Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God, your eternity will be in hell. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 7, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers.'" Going to church is important as a Christian, but going to church doesn't mean you are a Christian. There are a lot of people doing works to get saved and don't understand that our works don't save us. We should be doing works because we are saved. Salvation is a process of grace. God's grace is offered to us before we even know we need it. To receive God's grace, we must repent and believe. We must believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world. It is only by faith in Jesus Christ that we are saved. The question is, who do you say that Jesus is? A lot of people on Palm Sunday praised him, didn't they? Yet those same crowds cried, "Crucify." A lot of men who lived with him for almost 3 years thought they knew who he was. But when it came time for the cross, they were gone. But it was the power of that cross that saved and redeemed. Saved a criminal, saved a centurion, and saved us all. All those who will believe. Someone asks you today, who is Jesus? Would you honestly say he's the Son of God? Could you honestly say he's the Savior of my heart? Can you honestly say he's the one I live for every day? Is he the one you can proclaim that you love with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength? Because when we realize and see what he did for us on that cross, we owe him everything. And if you've just been coming to church and going through the emotions and not really believing, I'm here to tell you that is not good enough. You could have given 10%, 20% of your life savings every week for your whole life. You could have gone to every vacation Bible school and every Sunday school, and you can get 1,000 devotions in your email, and you can do all kinds of things and still be lost. Let's tell you, come to real faith, genuine faith in Jesus Christ, life-changing, life-transforming faith. There's a lot of great things that we do here. We baptize babies. It's wonderful. We take communion. It's very holy. It's wonderful. But you see, these things that we do are in response to what Jesus did. It's through our faith that we do these things. It is through faith that we gather and worship and honor God. It is through faith that we live. And if we aren't living that faith, then we have no faith. We have no faith, we have no inheritance. And when we look at the statistics, we've looked at statistics in a couple of sermons, and what are they showing us? What are they showing us? Because I can tell you what's happening, especially in our country, is a reflection of our faith. How much do we really believe? How much do we really proclaim it? How do we really live it out so others can see the light and the love of Jesus Christ in us? Because I can tell you there are places in the world that are on fire for God. There are places where churches are growing and expanding. And I've said it before, and this is an honest statement that I heard talking to someone from Africa. They are wanting to send evangelists here to revive America. We have to ask ourselves, who do we really say Jesus is? And the longer we wait, the more generations we lose. When more than 3/4 of young people have no idea that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Some of you are aging further and faster than I am, although I'm not far behind you. You have kids and grandkids, and some of you have great grandkids. And you know what I hear some people when they're in the golden ages? They say, I don't even know why I'm still here. All I can do is get up and luckily go to the bathroom and get something to eat and go back to bed. That's my life. I'm telling you, as long as you have breath in your lungs, your job is to share with people about who Jesus Christ is. Everywhere you go and everything you do, share the love of Jesus Christ. Every doctor you visit, every nurse, every clerk, every waitress, every server, every mechanic, anybody who you see or talk to should know that the central part of your life is Jesus Christ and salvation through him. Because if we aren't proclaiming it, who's going to proclaim it to them? Do you think the lost world is just scrolling through Facebook and say, oh, look, there's a church in the area and they're streaming live? What are the odds they're going to jump onto that? But what are the odds when you sign that oil change receipt, if you say, God has blessed me with this car and he has blessed me with this life. Thank you for that. Oh, did you know I prayed for your safety while you were underneath my car? Do you ever think about that? When the doctor comes in and say, doctor, there's a lot of things wrong, but before you treat me or diagnose me, can we pray together? Because I want God to give you the best wisdom, the best knowledge, and the best instincts possible. Could you imagine what kind of powerful witness that is? That you have faith in God in all circumstances and everything that you face and everything that you do? Could you imagine on the struggling server who could lucky to fill her tank to get to work or his tank to get to work and they got kids at home to feed and they're struggling and things are falling apart in their family and they're facing divorce, facing bankruptcy or all kinds of things, or maybe their parents are aging out and they're in between generation trying to raise kids and take care of their parents and they're just having a god-awful day and they forgot something on your order? Wouldn't it be something if you could just take their hand and say, you know what? I know it's a bad day, but I want to pray for you. And I'm going to give you a little extra tip today because I just, God said you needed it. God has blessed some of you well. And you have the ability to bless others, not just financially, but with your hearts and with your love. When people start seeing us live it out genuinely, when we show them who Jesus is, not just who we say Jesus is, but we show them who Jesus is, we will start making a difference. People will start saying, wow, that church is real. And maybe as a parent, you need to sit down and say, you know what? I didn't really set good examples for you. And looking back, I can see where I failed you. And I failed leading you in faith. I failed leading you in a life in the church. Maybe some of you need to call people up and restore some relationships. Can we love Jesus and carry anger? Can we love Jesus and not forgive others? Is our job to be right, or is our job to bring people to Jesus? We have to be real about what Easter is. We have to be real about what Jesus Christ did, and we have to be real about our faith. Because I tell you what, I don't want to stand before Jesus and say, "Well, God, I did how many sermons a year? Come on now. Do you know how many hospital visits I did? Do you know how many things that I did for you?" And he's going to say, "Did you have real faith doing it? Or were you doing it to exalt yourself? Were you doing it to brag to others?" He's going to know my heart. He's going to know your heart. There's no fooling God. And I know God's working in some of you, because I talk to you. I listen to you. I see what God's doing. God's doing good things in this church. And we got to be all in. And I'm telling you, this Sunday could be powerful. Because we're going to have people in here that haven't been in here in a long time. They're going to need to see that we know who Jesus is. They're going to need to hear us sing to him. We'll go to football games, baseball games. We'll go to our kids' recital and we'll cheer and we'll clap and we get all excited. Woo! You go to your kids' soccer game and they score a goal and you're jumping up and down and you're so proud and you're so happy. And then you come to church. Ooh, God, thanks. Is that how we should live? Let's be real. Who is Jesus? Let's get excited for Jesus. Let's be an excited church. Let's be an excited people. Let's be a place that people enjoy, people love. They want to come here. This should be your favorite day of the week. To get to come and celebrate. Every Sunday should be a celebration of God. It should be fun. It should be on your calendar every Sunday. Woo! Get to go party with Jesus. Get to go party with his people. Because God is good. Let's worship. Let's honor. Let's love. Because that's what church is really about. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you ever came in and left and said, "I didn't get anything out of that service"? Well, guess what? It's not about you. It's about that. It's about that cross. About the man who spent the last 24 hours of his life living every minute of it for you. He gave us communion. He prayed for us. He sweat blood. He shed blood. And he stood firm, knowing everything was on him. Knowing that even after he died, over the centuries, thousands, millions, billions of people would reject him. But not today. Let's not reject Jesus Christ today. Let's embrace him. Let's love him. And let's remember what he did for you and for me, and giving us the opportunity to live eternally in the presence of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I am the first to confess that this week has not been my best week. Although there are moments that I have served you faithfully, there are moments that I have served myself. Lord, that I have thought of my needs ahead of you. Lord, instead of calling on your strength, I relied on my will. Lord, instead of loving somebody and taking my time to help them, there were times I selfishly said I had too much to do. But Lord, I know each and every day you give me a new opportunity to live for you. You give me a new opportunity every day to be forgiven, to be redeemed. And every day I have the opportunity to be your hands, your feet, your love to all those around me. And Lord, in so many places, in so many ways, people need to discover you. Because we see lies falling apart all over the place. But Lord, we need to be a victorious people that no matter the trials or tribulations that we stand in, no matter how scary or how devastating the situation might seem, we know that in all things you have final victory. And we know we can be a part of that victory through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we are ever grateful for the love that you continually displayed for your people and your creation. No matter how many times we have turned our back on you, your grace remains. You are a faithful and loving God. Allow us to be your faithful and loving servants. Allow us to live our lives in such a way that other people come to know Jesus Christ. Lord, may we love you with all that we have. This we ask and pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We serve a great God. A great God who looks at us as somebody of value. Each of us. There's not one life that God does not value. And he wants to restore all of us to the people he created us to be. And through his Son, Jesus Christ, we can be that people. So let us leave here knowing that Jesus Christ is our Redeemer, that Jesus Christ is our way to heaven. And let us go and live our lives in such a way that other people will see our faith, experience our faith, and desire that same faith. Let us go now and be a people of God. This we ask and pray in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of his Holy Spirit. Amen.